Brian Fisher is with us. He is on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Brian of College Football Talk, national college football writer. Good to have you, Brian.
Good to be on with you guys.
All right, let's start with this month because it's going to be a special one for a lot of prospects and their families. And we can debate for a little bit whether or not this could be delayed, but it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like Goodell is going forward with this. And I know there's a little new information about it. What are you anticipating this draft is going to look like visually for the fan at home?
You know, I think it's going to be fascinating to see, especially how, you know, the NFL Network, ESPN, how they're going to cover this in terms of, you know, the minutia that goes on with this draft. And usually, you know, television can kind of tell that picture in general in terms of, all right, you know, the teams are making this pick and all that. And I don't know if we're going to get that. We're going to get a little bit of a delayed analysis and probably some delayed picks as well. And I think even the teams themselves, they're still trying to kind of sort out, how are they going to get into a building? How are they going to be on a conference call? How are they going to, you know, really kind of sort out what those discussions are in that draft room, especially on day three when things really kind of get hot and heavy where you don't have that much time to make these picks. So I think it's going to be fascinating to play out and certainly the most unique draft in NFL history for sure.
Absolutely, Brian. And, you know, it's going to be unique because obviously the guys won't be together, but it should be consistent in the standpoint of quarterbacks getting drafted high. You look at Joe Burrow probably at number one, Tua somewhere after that, potentially Herbert being mixed in there, Jordan Love. I mean, do you see all four of those guys, you know, based on what they did in college, you think they'll all be first-round draft picks towards the end of the month?
I would imagine so, and I think everybody, the question in everybody's mind really is what is the medicals on Tua, and that's really going to determine, you know, kind of how high he goes. Everybody kind of pegs him as being there between number three and certainly number six, but I think the great unknown about this draft is really going to cause some shuffling, and I think it's also going to cause a lot of these teams kind of go back, rewatch the film time after time after time again because they didn't have an opportunity to work these guys out themselves and just kind of get that board work, especially to see how these guys could pick up their systems, how they could adjust to the coaching. You know, they're really not able to do that. You know, they can do it a little bit over, you know, Skype and FaceTime and all that, which they have been. But you know, the key mind in when talking with these teams, when talking with the coaches, you know, the great unknown about this, and when you're making a top five pick, when you're making a big pick like that, going after a quarterback, you've got to put so much energy and research into it, and a lot of this is just going to be a guesswork, and I think that's kind of what these teams are going to kind of weigh when they make those high picks. But at the end of the day, they're probably going to have to fall in love with these guys based on their film, and a lot of those guys, all four of the ones that you mentioned, have some pretty good film to back up their first round status.
Yeah, you certainly can fall in love with all of them. And I think, you know, Tua Tagovailoa said last night, and he's talked to the NFL Network and ESPN, he says, "I feel 100%. We've seen the video." I don't think that's what bothers people. Eventually, he's going to get hit. He's going to play football again, and he's going to be in uniform, and he's going to be hit by big, fast linemen in the pros. And I think that's it for me. It's how will he be able to hold up? I look at Joe Burrow, and I see the physical nature of how he played the game. And I guess I would ask you this because I think most people are trying to debate this, and it's really a hypothetical. If Tua didn't have the injury he had, would he be the number one pick, no doubt? Or would after the year that Burrow had, that there still would be a lot of debate on who to take?
I think even if the medicals were clean and that was not a concern, both in the short and long-term situation, I'm not sure that a lot of teams would have moved to that number one spot. I think, you know, Joe Burrow put together that kind of a great season. He ticks a lot of boxes off. Obviously, you talk about Tua, he's able to move around in the pocket really well, and I think, you know, the RPO game that Alabama kind of displayed really played into where kind of the game of football is going, and that does kind of put something into his category that Joe Burrow maybe doesn't have in terms of those legs. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's all about, you know, making those throws down the field. I think both guys can do that. I think, you know, Joe Burrow, the bigger, stronger, more physical guy, that's what the coaches are kind of looking for. You know, I think when they get a smaller quarterback in, they've got to say, what else can you do for me? Obviously, you know, I think when you talk about the health issues around Tua, that's going to be a concern for everybody. But in my mind, no matter what, even if that had been taken off the board, I think you still would see guys grade Joe Burrow a little bit better than Tua, you know, coming into this draft.
We're talking with Brian Fisher of College Football Talk on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Brian, everybody talks about quarterbacks, and they're always overdrafted, and rightfully so, because if you have the guy you need, your team always has a chance. But outside of the quarterbacks, who do you think the best position player is in this draft?
Well, I think it's very easy to go with Chase Young, and I think, you know, obviously what we've seen the last couple of years at Ohio State, you have it all on tape there. And I think, you know, my comp to him always, you know, kind of coming out of college is Myles Garrett. You know, he physically checks off the boxes, you know, production-wise checks off the boxes. And I think even with him in particular, you know, he's really kind of just scratching the surface. You know, I think he's still able to grow, add some arsenal to those pass rush moves that he already has. And he's just so quick. You know, I think when you look at guys coming off the edge, you know, that quickness is kind of one of the things that you got to see. And he does that. And maybe more so than a lot of prospects as well. You know, he plays the run pretty well. So I think that is an underrated part of his game. Everybody talks about rushing the passer. But in the NFL, you've got to be on the field for three or four downs. And you've got to, you know, play the run pretty well. So I think that's why coming into this draft, he's kind of the clear number one prospect. And I don't think there's really anybody that's kind of close to knocking him off that perch.
All right, Brian, let's get to hopefully the year that will happen here and get your feeling on. Certainly Ohio State is up there with Clemson again. We all know that. In fact, we could be headed for a repeat game with the two of them. Do you agree with that? Like, how far would you put Bama? And I'm just putting words in your mouth, so correct me. I have Clemson certainly in Ohio State right there. And then Bama, which lost a ton. We know they'll be highly motivated. Georgia, we know about Penn State and Oregon. Are there a couple of sleepers there for you, or is this Ohio State and Clemson above the pack right now?
I definitely think there's some separation. And you know, usually coming into a season, and we don't know what obviously is going to play out in the fall, but, you know, coming into a season, there is kind of tends to be a gap between those kind of top two teams, the rest of the kind of the elite group, if you will, and then everybody else in college football. And I think this year coming in 2020, I think it definitely is Clemson and Ohio State. And we know why. You know, they continuously recruit. Obviously, these staffs have been in big games. They know how to win, you know, against top flight competition. And you know, when you look around their rosters, you know, you don't see a whole lot of holes versus, like you were saying with Alabama, you know, who's going to be the quarterback? You know, who's going to replace some of those wide receivers? You know, what's the depth situation like at some of these other programs? You know, there's just so many unknowns, but we know what we're getting in Ohio State and in Clemson. And so I think, obviously, you look at those two teams, probably going to be 1-2 in all the preseason polls. And I think, you know, rightfully so, given what they're coming back with in 2020.
Okay, so final question for me here, Brian. You know, based upon how the offseason has been restricted and, you know, potentially just some modifications to the offseason then heading into training camp for the college players, do you think that gives any team an advantage over another?
I think the teams that obviously have a veteran quarterback that return a lot of starters that you know, have a lot of staff continuity. I think that's the other key factor. You look at Texas bringing in new coordinators. You got Georgia with a new offensive coordinator. That hurts more than most, the loss of spring practice, the probably a shortened fall camp or something like that over the summer. You know, those are the teams that I think you got to be a little bit worried about in terms of going into the season is guys that really don't know what to expect from their coaches. You know, the head coach might be there, but those position guys, those coordinators, not having that day-to-day interaction with them, not having the re-emphasis of what kind of system you're playing, what kind of plays you like. You know, I think that's going to be very tough for some of these new programs, you know, guys taking over to really get on the same page, essentially, before the season starts.
Brian Fisher, he is with College Football Talk, and we appreciate the conversation, Brian. Hope you're safe and continue to be that way, and hopefully we'll get you back soon once we have some real football to talk about. Thanks, Brian.
Good to be on with you guys.